Hallelujah. You know, when you're going, when you've gone through a desert experience, what's, you know, feels like a desert experience, and all of a sudden you hear things again after that experience, and God is restoring that time and just reaffirming who He is to you. When you hear things like that, it's like it's brand new. It's a refreshing. You know what I'm saying? You know, I want to tell you, I was sharing with Gene on the way in here this morning. I heard this said that, you know, Pete, we don't understand what praise and worship is. You know, in prayer, when we pray, that motivates the angels to move in our behalf. But sometimes we pray and we get up and we just go our ways and we've missed the boat. Praise is what brings God on the scene. God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? And praise is a warfare tool. When you begin to praise God, after you prayed, that brings not just the angels to your rescue into the situation, but it also brings God. And God has, and He not only has, but He is the answer. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just feel the need to praise Him and worship Him this morning. How about you? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse. I believe God's given me something that's powerful, and I believe it'll bless you. I want it to bless you. It blesses me as I think about it. As God gave it to me, it came quick and doesn't normally come that way. I mean, it's a steady stream, but it doesn't normally come quick and to the point. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about the Word this morning. But I feel the need to worship God. Ever since I left the house this morning, I just felt the need to worship God, to praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. How many understand that we have authority? Because Jesus is the authority over all principalities and powers. We have authority over those things. But that's not where we rejoice and where we get excited. We get excited that our name is in the book of life. Amen? It's written in the book of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with that said, I encourage you to be here. God must have a plan. So we got to get on that same wavelength. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give God His tithes and our offerings this morning before we enter into praise and worship. Amen? Hallelujah. I just threw that out for free. I thought that was pretty powerful when I heard that the angels come on the scene when you pray, but the warfare tool that we have is praise. And that brings God on the scene because He inhabits our praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Heavenly Father, for each and every person that's here today.
Yes.
Let us each be a blessing to one another, and help us to have open ears to hear what You have for us today, Heavenly
Amen.
Father. We thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus, and what He's done for us. And we thank You for this time that we have to worship You and Him. We ask You to bless this offering that we are about to receive. We ask You to multiply it so that we can continue to be an influence in this community and throughout the world as we support our missionaries, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Father, this morning we come to You, Lord. We're grateful and we're thankful, Lord. And we do praise when You worship You, Lord. You're worthy. Father, this morning, my desire is for people to receive from You encouragement, strength, wisdom, understanding. And Lord, that their hearts are touched this morning and they are strengthened. Lord, we want to encourage, we want to build up and exhort and comfort in the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite You to come. You take control of this service. You're the one in charge. We release it to You. I release myself to You, Lord. Use me whatever way You see fit, Lord. But use me, Lord. And Lord, I ask that for the people to use us, Lord. Let us give out what we've been given, Lord, what's in us, Lord, so that it doesn't become stagnant, but, Lord, that it becomes more strengthened. It becomes more real and more effective in every way, every day. For that, we praise You and thank You, Lord. And we do proclaim we have open minds and receptive hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name, and for Your honor and glory, amen.
Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We honor your word this morning. We honor you, Lord, the living word. Use me now, Lord. Bless your people to cause change, to bring about change and insight, Lord, and revelation by the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you. You're in control. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over us. You take care of us, Lord. You protect us. And that as the song was this morning, Lord, no weapon, it's your word, Lord, no weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon, no device, no plan, no attack. Nothing the enemy can come up with will prosper against us because we've been redeemed, Lord. Because of what Isaiah 53:5 and 50 says, Lord, we're redeemed. We are redeemed from the curse of the law, from the curse, generational curses, Lord. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. Now, Lord, minister to the hearts of these people. Use me. I yield myself to you. Touch my tongue with a coal from off the altar of God. And let me speak your truth this morning in Jesus' name. And you receive all the glory and honor to yourself. Amen. If you want to, while I'm speaking here for a minute, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin this morning. You know, the more that we look around, and you know, I find it incredible that as I talk to Christian people, and I hear their conversation, that they're surprised and they're confused at how the things that are going on in this world can go on. How can this happen? Well, you have to understand some basic principles first. You have to understand before you were born again, you were of your father, the devil. Amen. But when you became born again, you became a new species or being that never before existed. If you look it up in the concordance and translate it, that's what it's saying. You're a new creature in Christ. So the thoughts and the patterns and the things that you would have done in your past are dead and gone, or they should be. One of the things that terrorizes people today in the Christian, this is unsad for Christians, it's not going to terrorize the people out there. They're so blind, they don't even understand in this world the things that are going on, in this country the things that are going on. They're so blind that they think if I just vote the right way, status quo, then I'm going to be safe. And they don't understand by that complacent attitude that their lives are being put into bondage and imprisoned every moment that this goes undealt with. And yet it is being dealt with. God's got it in control. Amen? My son was listening to some things on his iPhone, his smartphone, or whatever you want to call it. And he was sharing with me, and all of a sudden I got a wave of nostalgia from that, because it's things that I've, some of the stuff was stuff that I've known for probably close to 20 years. There was a police officer here in Denver City, that resigned his job and left and went into hiding. Now, we're not going to dwell on this stuff. I'm just going to pass it out for information. And when we're going to go on, we're going to dwell on the things of God. Amen? And he left and went into hiding because he, clear back then, how many remember when the airport was built, DIA? All of the black helicopters and all that kind of stuff that was out, you know, that there were UN troops coming in and all this stuff. And there was an airline pilot who said, I'm going to expose you if you don't stop this. And you never heard any more about it, but there were things going on. At that time, even back at that time, there were people who were planning and plotting to bring together, if they could get the people to go with them, and that's the key. Remember, just because they've got a plan, God's got a greater plan, amen? They were planning to bring the military and the police together in a specially trained units to come in and subversively, but quickly and quietly, take your guns from you. Now, we look at the things that Obama's doing, and Obama is a distraction. It's not Obama, it's the devil. It's the devil's plan. There was a teacher who came on, and was another one that he was looking at was a teacher in California, who says right now that he's being forced, this is being forced on the schools in California, that they're going to delete everything that has to do with the Constitution and do away with it, and they're going to show pictures of men kissing men, and they're going to deaden our children by indoctrinating them with homosexuality. And then finally there was a man who was a distinguished-looking gentleman, but as you looked at his eyes, you could see there was no life there. There was darkness and death. White beard. And he sat there and said right to the camera and to the person who was interviewing him, "I'm God, and if you don't like it, get off the planet." Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've read that someplace. I'm not here to tell you he's the Antichrist, but he's a prelude to it. He's one of the mimics, at least, that the Bible talks about. We're supposed to be imitators of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And as I began to listen to this, I brought back memories of things that I've known for years that I've put on the shelf. That does not concern me. Yes, it concerns me that people are being put into bondage and their freedoms are being taken away under their very nose because they're so complacent they can't even see it. All they want, they're crying out. This is one of the things the Bible says, that they'll cry out for peace in the last days. And then one day, all of a sudden, peace will be gone and the trouble will begin. Amen? And as I began to think about that, God began to minister to me by the Holy Spirit, His Word. And He began to remind me of His reality, His truth, and the fact that there is none higher and none over God. He is the living and only true God. Amen? Hallelujah. Seems to me I heard something like that before. "I will exalt my throne above the throne of God." And we know what happened to him. Amen? Read with me, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, "But this know also," or "this know." I think the New King James, it says, "But this know, that in the last days," listen to me, what you're reading is the revelation of what the last days are going to look like. Now, we've had evil in this world forever. Amen? Men who chose darkness rather than light because their deeds and their actions were evil. Because they didn't value their fellow man, so they wanted to devise ways they could destroy them and put themselves in a higher place than those people. Amen? "In these last days, perilous." And that word perilous means dangerous times. Dangerous for what? Dangerous for those who don't believe. Listen carefully now. Dangerous for those who don't believe. Why are they dangerous? Because one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to succumb to the enemy and the enemy's plan, or you're going to stand up for Jesus and die. Isn't that what the Word says? The thing we need to understand is who those people are and when that's going to happen. And by everything that I see in the Word, I realize we're not those people who are going to go through those things. We're going to be out of here. You can fight with me and argue with me if you want to, but you're not arguing with me, you're arguing with what I see in the Word of God. The bottom line is, God says He's our protector. He's going to watch out for us. We're going to see that in a minute. Listen to me. "For men will be lovers of themselves." If you love yourself, you can't love God, can you? You become a god to yourself. Lovers of money. Man, I'll tell you what. Even in the Christian church, there are people who worship money. Money's not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Why do you think there's so much evil? Because people's love is in the money, and that's the root that's taking them to the dark side of this life, their existence. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Look at the blasphemy that's going against God out there today from our science community, or what they call our science. It's not my science community. Men who are educated, and all of a sudden they think they're smarter than God. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Listen to me, right now for many years now, we've got parents who think that they have rights above the rights of their unborn child, and they've been murdering children right and left for how many years now? Sounds like perilous times, doesn't it, to you? Sounds like it to me. Love themselves. They have no love for anybody else. They have children, and then they'll attack anybody who they think is going to hurt their child, and yet they have no regard for their own children. Not so with our God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Disobedient to parents. Kids who are going out shooting their parents. Kids who are going out and doing things that were unheard of for the most part when most of us here were young. Amen? There was some reverence. There was some respect. There was some morals back when we were coming up. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And some of these, and unfortunately it indicts some Christians, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, or deny its power. And your Bible says, from such, turn away. That doesn't mean you reject the sinner, but you reject what the sinner represents, you reject his values, because there's only one value that's important to us, and that's the value of salvation. Going out and ministering life to people who are in darkness and who are perishing around us. Amen? Hallelujah. But I want you to see something. We know by Scripture, and in Scripture it says that I will not fear what man will do to me. Let me tell you what our heritage is, what the Bible says in Psalms 91. Well, I'm going to start with 1 Peter 5:8 first. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. These people are out expounding. Let me tell you, one of the things that's going on, there was a staff sergeant, a highly decorated staff sergeant out of the military. He and another guy were going into this particularly restricted camp, or active base, if you will, active military fortress. And they were allowed to go in. That's the enemy, stupid. You know, he steps on his own toes. The Bible says what's done in secret will be shouted from the housetops. It will be revealed in the light. Amen. What's done in darkness will be revealed in the light. They're going into this camp where these police officers and these soldiers are to be trained to take control of you and I. To take our freedoms away. Our freedom, our right to keep and bear arms. Why would anybody want to do that? So they can control you. And that's what the enemy's all about, is control, manipulation. Amen? Obama's so blind because he doesn't know the Lord that he doesn't even realize he's a pawn in Satan's scheme. It's not his scheme, and it's not his plan, nor the people he's associated with. It's Satan's scheme. The deeds of your father you will do. So it's very evident who their father is. But God loves them. Even though they appear as enemies, God loves them, and He wants to see them saved. Amen? Hallelujah. Walks about as a roaring lion. seeking whom he may devour. Now the issue is that he is not... Well, he has a loud roar, but he has no teeth. Come on now. Why? How can you say that? Because Jesus said he made an open show of him. When he went to the grave, and what he did on the cross, and what he did before the cross when he was beaten, he took the powers of death and hell and the keys of death and hell and took them away from Satan, and he made him a mockery. And he took his power away. So the only power he has now is an unregenerated mind, or a mind who is not fixed. It's not fixed on the things of God. That's why we've got to meditate on the things of God day and night. Meditate on His Word. Because if we'll keep our mind on Him, we'll have perfect peace. Amen? Perfect peace. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 91. This is a familiar passage to everybody. Y'all know it. Y'all know what it says. But I want to show you some things. As I began to think about this, I began to hear, you know, and as I began to hear this, these men and these stories coming up on this internet or whatever was being shown on my son's phone. And you understand, my son's not pointing out this for in the negative. He's saying, I understand this is what's going on. He may not look at it the same way as you and I do, but he understands what's going on. He has enough sense in God to do that. But listen to what he says. People are failing. Their hearts are failing in fear from the things that are going on. Christians. And the people who aren't Christians, they don't even realize that their life is being consumed and being put in a place of bondage they're not going to recover from except by denouncing the enemy and denouncing the 666 and turning to Jesus. He's always a God of a second chance. And there will be those who, I believe, again, based on Scripture, that will give their hearts to Jesus in that time and say, I'm not bowing to this. And they'll probably lose their lives. But they'll be saved because of it. Remember what the Word says? He says, you got to turn them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, for the salvation of their soul. Remember that Scripture? That's a good example right there. They did what they thought was right, but unfortunately their thoughts didn't come from God. They didn't have the mind of Christ. So it's a little hard to have that. But listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 91 in answer to all this. He who abides or lives in the secret place of the Most High shall live under the shadow of the Almighty. Who? The Almighty. I will say of the Lord, this is my confession, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. In Him I put my trust. Not on the things around me. Not on the things I see. We're going to go on and understand some things differently maybe than we have in the past in just a few moments. Surely, God's not a liar. He can't lie. What He said He'll do. So here in verse 3 it says, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Who's the fowler? The enemy. His plan. Amen? And from the perilous or dangerous pestilence. Pestilence. That's all the plans, devices, and schemes of the enemy. Amen? See, they think they're gaining control. But when you hear testimonies like Harry gave last week, 3,000 people a day, wasn't that what you said, Harry? Are coming to the Lord in Iran, in Persia, in the underground church. They just got done executing a girl for not renouncing her faith. They're putting their life in danger, but they love God more than they love their life. Hallelujah. So while all this is going on, instead of focusing on that, let's focus on what God's up to. God hasn't laid down and gone to sleep. He hasn't folded His hands. He's not twiddling His thumbs. He's working. He's moving. And we need to be in tune with what He's doing and understand and know that. And instead of our faith diminishing and beginning to get scared, we need to let all that fear go. How do you get rid of fear? Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? Let's go on. He shall, that's definitive, cover you with His feathers. Under His wings, you shall take refuge. His what? His truth. His what? His truth will be your shield and your buckler. And in shield and buckler, as I looked it up, basically are mean the same thing. It's a shield held on the right, a round shield held on the left hand. Listen, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Man, we got people running over people with no conscience. They just run away. We got a woman in Aurora who's supposed to be the fire chief's wife, and her record is 90 miles long. She's dangerous. She needs to be off the streets. You know what she really needs? She needs Jesus. Amen. I remember a scripture, and I can't tell you exactly what the context is at this moment, but there's a scripture that talks about winking at sin. Not calling it what it is, but tolerating it. And my Bible says, and your Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, and so will your poverty come. If your faith is not active, believing the things that God says, right here He's given us. Man, that's why when you've got problems in your life, you dial 911 in the Bible. Psalm 911. Amen? Let's go on. Shall not be afraid of the terror by day, by night, nor for the arrow that flies by noonday, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. These things that are going on right now in our world and in our, and it's not just in the United States, it's in the entire world. And I'll tell you the reason it's intensifying is because the devil knows his time is short. So I would say to you again, when the enemy comes to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen. You remind him of his future. Son, you're about done. You've already been destroyed, but you haven't figured out that, you know, you need to stop. So, the ultimate destruction. Let me tell you something. I was listening to a guy talk about, and I'm not one who listens too much to this stuff. Sometimes God has me listen for a reason. But he was talking about hell. Let me tell you something. You can't even fathom in your mind what hell is like. You have no concept. You've never been that debased that you could consider what hell would be like. One of the things this man said is the worst torture and the worst pain you've ever had in your life. And it's constant. You want to die, but you can't. The pain is so bad, it's like pain you've never experienced before in your life. This is what's ahead for the enemy, for those who serve the enemy, and for his angels. Those that he tricked into following him, or that willingly followed him when he decided he would exalt his throne. Now we have this man here. Who's he imitating? Not God. I'm God. If you don't like it, get off the planet. Son, you're a God, but not the God. How many know what I'm saying here? Listen carefully to the promise of God. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your right side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But the last part of it says, but it shall not come near you. The protection of God is on you. That's one of the reasons I said this morning that when you pray, don't stop there. When you're done praying, don't just get up and thank God. Get up and praise Him. Your prayer brought the angels. They're now working for you. Praise God. That's a warfare tool. And that brings the presence of God because He inhabits the praise of His people. And it puts... Remember how the Bible says one will put 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight? Well, when you pray to God, you're starting that. But when God comes on the scene, not only you have God, but the angels and you. How many know that's a majority? That's a majority. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Verse 8. Only. Everybody say only.
Only.
With your eyes will you behold. Or shall you look, in the New King James, and see the reward of the wicked? Amen? See, this is not only a chapter in Psalms that speaks of God's protection, but it speaks of the reality that we have in God. We see things happening every day that are causing people to perish and fall by the wayside. Is it affecting you, other than grieving your heart? I said grieving your heart. That's how it affects me. I see the enemy taking advantage of people, and it doesn't have to be so. You know what's amazing to me is they think that everything they're doing is going to bring happiness, bring prosperity, bring exuberance and joy to their life. And what they're doing is they're sowing a net and sowing a destruction for themselves. And yet God says, if you'll Matthew 6:33, if you'll seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then all the things you desire, joy, peace, prosperity, mental health, physical health. Amen? Hallelujah. Gene and I were talking on the way up here too about the fact that, you know, I made a comment to my son. I said, sometimes the things you do seem to contradict who you really are. And I wasn't being critical and I wasn't being accusatory. I wasn't chastising him. I was just saying that. And I find it interesting that he says to me, Dad, you're not the first person that said that to me this week. Sounds like God reaching out, doesn't it, to you? Sounds like God reaching out. Hello? He doesn't want anybody to perish. And yet people are running headlong. They think they've got a better way. They've been lulled to sleep. They've rejected God because they don't understand that their only happiness will come from God. They get caught up in the corruption of this world. And they think they're happy, and yet they're miserable. And they can't see. They're so blind they can't see. The enemy has taken them straight to hell. But not us. Amen? Oh, you should be shouting amen. We're redeemed. We're transformed. We're blood bought. The price has been paid. Amen? We're not who we used to be. We're a peculiar people. The world thinks we're nuts, but we know they are. Only with your eye shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. Listen carefully. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. In other words, you're living in His presence. In everything you do, in everything you say, in every action you have. You don't just react. You don't just open your mouth. You stop and you seek God about everything you say and do. Let Him be in control of your life. You're surrendered to Him. Verse 10 says, no evil. Everybody say that. No evil shall befall you, shall befall me. Amen. Nor shall any plague, listen carefully, any plague come near your dwelling. That's not just talking about sickness. Amen. That's talking about the plagues that are out in this world right now. The plagues that were spoken about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there's a plague, folks. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, God promised them that He would deliver them. Amen? And He brought them out of, the Bible says, bitter bondage. And what we have in the world today is the same thing that happened to the children of Israel. People are in bondage and they don't even realize it. Some of the people in Israel cried out and said, man, it's better for us to die here in slavery than go out there and be killed. And yet God's plan was not for them to be killed. God was there protecting them. But because they listened to other voices, they listened to things that didn't come from God, because they didn't hear what God said, sent Moses to be the man who would bring them out, because He had mandated it to Moses. And so many of them died in the wilderness. That's what's happening today. People are dying in their sin because they're blinded by the enemy and by their selfishness and self-centered and self-righteousness. Amen? Am I the only one who sees that? Must be. Listen. Nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over you. In other words, He's mandated to the angels, you watch out for my kids. Come on now, it's just that simple. Just that simple. I made a statement this morning and Jean said to me, she said, but Bill, it sounds so simple. And right away afterwards she said, but it is that simple. Yes. If you come as a child, it's that simple. Amen? Stop trying to legalize it. Stop trying to, you know, what's the word I want to say? Intellect it. You know, just accept it as a little child. I remember somebody getting after me one time for saying God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I'm still saying it, and I agree. They were wrong, and I'm right. God said it, and that settles it. Settles it where? May not settle it in your life, but it settles it in my life. I'm telling you where I'm at. Amen? And where I want you to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To keep you in all, in what ways? All your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Listen to this. Who is it saying in verse 13? Who is it talking about? What's that first word? You shall tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Does the Word tell us that we're seated at the right hand of God? Does the Word tell us that Jesus is our head and we're the body? And what does the Bible say is under Jesus' feet? The enemy is His footstool, and so the enemy is the footstool that's under our feet too. Listen, it's right here. You shall tread upon the lion, upon the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Why? Because He has set His love upon me. His love's out there for anybody who will receive it. Amen. Didn't He say, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. But see, all people can see because they've been blinded by the enemy and by their own selfishness and all the negative that's in their life is that I'll be too restricted. I won't have life. Can I tell you something? You know why God put it in the Bible? You should train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what God put in the Bible? That if you beat the child with a rod, you won't kill him, but you'll save his soul from hell. You know what God put in the Bible? That he says, the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from your child. It's in that kind of correction and chastisement that you know that you're loved. That somebody cares about you and they're trying to guide you in the right way. Look what's happened in this world where all of our caring has turned to nothing, where parents don't even care about their kids. Parents who run off and leave their kids in cars. Somebody comes and steals the car and goes on a great chase throughout Denver with a baby in the car. Parents who don't monitor their kids. They go and do their thing. They don't even give their kids a second thought. So one of the most precious gifts besides salvation that you can have, that God can give you, is your own child. But he's not yours. Uh-oh. What do you mean he's not mine? He's a gift from God to you. And you're responsible for the outcome. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? The point God's trying to make? These things affect us in the heart, but don't affect us spiritually. I mean physically. They affect us spiritually. They should affect us spiritually. God's not happy that anybody's going to perish. We shouldn't be either. And that's why the Bible says, in these last days, perilous times will come. But when you see these things happening, look up, because your redemption draws near. Amen? Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. Because you set your love on Him, He will deliver you. Is that what it says there? I will set Him on high because He has known my name. What name? The name of Jesus, not the name of Obama. Folks, we ought to be expecting people who don't know God to do the things they do. We shouldn't be surprised. You know, people get surprised at the things we do, but that's because of what? The hope that's in us. Amen? Amen? I want to read that again. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. When you set your love on Him, God delivers you. I will set Him on high. He's going to set you on high. Why? Because you've known His name. Listen to verse 15. He said that. Say to yourself, that means me. That means me. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him. I don't see anywhere there where he says if you hold your mouth just right or if you do a little dance and you pray a certain way, or you make a little chant. He said you would call on Him and He would answer. And He would be with you in time of trouble and would deliver you. He would deliver you. He will deliver you. In fact, it says, I will deliver him and honor him. And then verse 16, the icing on the cake. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. James 1:27. James 1:27. Pure religion, or pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and listen, to keep one's self unspotted from the world. That word pure means free from corrupt desire, blameless and innocent. The word religion means worship or discipline. So pure worship and discipline is that we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and in trouble, and then to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Undefiled means unspoiled, not debased, and not deformed. That's what undefiled means. You know, humanity is at a place in their life, they have no regard for human life. There was a time where if you hit somebody with a vehicle, no matter what, you'd stop. Your conscience would bother you. But their consciences have been so seared because they've rejected God that they don't even know the truth from the lie. They can't even tell right from wrong. Somebody gets stopped at a traffic stop. The abuse that the policeman takes as he writes the ticket. Why aren't you out catching criminals? Well, you are one. You violate traffic law, you're just as much a criminal as if you go out and murder or steal. Those laws are there for what? For protection. The laws are the things that we receive as commands of God or laws of God are there for what? Your protection, your prosperity, and your longevity. Amen? Killing unborn babies. Some men out there who are they're just like Satan. They imitate their father very well. Try to elevate themselves to the position of God. They have no morals at all. You're taking notes or you want to turn there, turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. We're going to read verses 13 through 17. This is what Satan did. And this is what this is talking about. And this is where people are today. You know, we've been taught since the 60s, you know, people are their own gods. That's what the drugs and things did that desecrated the youth of the 60s. Caused one of the greatest havocs on this planet that we've seen in a long time. Here's what it says. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down, God says, to Sheol, to the lowest pits of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of the prisoners? See, Jesus already did that. But the final sentence hasn't been given, even for Satan. Final sentence has not been given. In other words, he's already had a sentencing trial, but the sentence has not been carried out. But it's going to be one day real soon. Now, folks, what I'm telling you and the reason I'm telling you this is because I am convinced more than ever in my life that we are at the threshold of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to be called out of here. We'll be in glory. Amen. And then all of these things which are right on the horizon. They've been talking about these chips that they want to put in people. We've been hearing these rumors for a while. But these things are starting to slowly come into fruition. But you know, the other thing is, when you focus on what they're saying, you get distracted. It's a distraction from God. And I would tell you, men who still have at least some morals, even if they don't have God, and who have a conscience, whose conscience hasn't been seared, I can't see. And that's just my me. Understand, I'm not saying anything against the Word. I'm saying this is where I'm at. I can't see those men turning and giving in to forcing people into martial law and taking more of their freedoms away. I told you about the California school district, didn't I? Did I mention that? Here's a teacher who is a Christian, and he's being forced to do this if he's going to continue to teach. Otherwise, he's got to give up his career. How many see the correlation between that and you accept the mark of the beast or you can't buy or sell? Hello? Hello? See, it's right in front of us. If our focus is right, we should be right there, and we should be standing up every day rejoicing, giving God praise that we're about out of here, that He's with us. And in the time that we have left, we should be out there ministering life to those who are lost. Let me tell you something. God's not just on a rant saving 3,000 a day. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is white. It's ready for harvest. Amen? And it's not just TBN, and it's not just Daystar. It's not just LaCie Broadcasting. It's us. We're the hands and feet of God. We're the ones who have the message. We're the ones who have the mandate go into all the world. Now, that doesn't mean you get up and all of a sudden sell everything you own and go run and be a missionary somewhere. Man, this is a mission right here. You know, I got to tell you, I feel sorry for these, and I hate it when I see these commercials. I don't hate the kids. I hate the plight they're in, but I hate it. We've got a mission field right here where our own children in our own schools are starving, going to school without food, but I'm supposed to support the world? I'm not against that. Please understand, I'm not saying I'm against that. But what about right here at home? What's wrong with this mission field? I'll bet there's every one of the people in this room knows somebody whose child is going to school without a proper breakfast. If it wasn't for the school programs, wouldn't have any food at all. And how many know that you can't learn? You can't function when you're hungry. You can't function and think straight when you're hungry, when you don't have good water. The Bible says, I want to listen to the correlation, the picture here that I'm trying to draw, the parallel picture I'm trying to draw. The Bible says, if you don't take care of those in your own house, you've denied the faith and you're worse than your infidel. And I would say to you that if you don't take care of those that are in your backyard, then you have denied the faith and worse than an infidel. Because the need's just as great right here as it is over there. God has people called to those things. God has people who He's anointed and called and gifted to be able to take care of those things. And yet the enemy would come and say, "Well, you just don't care. You just don't have a heart." When I see what the enemy's doing to the people in this world, I get angry. I get angry. And then I run and I praise God that He redeemed me. He saved me. He set me free. And He's the one who's supplying all my needs. Didn't He say He'd supply all of our needs? So if you're not going to Him and you're not getting your needs met, guess what? Where's the problem lie? I'm going to finish this up real quick here. Psalms 91:8 says, "Only with your eye will you see or look and see the reward of the wicked." You're still taking notes, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, He formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name." I know who you are. That's what God says. I know who you are. You are mine. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. How many remember the three Hebrew kids? Daniel chapter 4. Or 3, excuse me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. You shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Sounds like it came right out of Daniel chapter 3, doesn't it? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom for Ethiopia. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. And even though it says have had past tense, it's still I do love you. Amen. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, saying, and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Why were you created? For his glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Listen to me. Those promises talking about giving up, the north, south, east, and west, giving up, they're God's kids. He may have entrusted you with them, but you have a right, and you need to know unquestionably that God said, just like he told Paul and Silas told the jailer when they were in prison, don't kill yourself. And then the jailer asked, how can I be saved? And they told him what he needed to do. But he said, not only you, but your entire house. God's not a respecter of persons. His promises, when once they're given, are not just for individuals. They're for all of us. Can you say amen? Deuteronomy 28:13 says, we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. The Word of God says, in Him we lack nothing. Amen? Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Joshua 1, verse 19. Excuse me, verse 9. Joshua 1:9. Excuse me, 1:9. Did it again. Hello? Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. 1 John 5:14. One more and we'll close. 1 John 5:14. Listen to this now. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We have confidence in Him. What He said in Psalm 91 is for us. The requirement is we put our trust in Him, that we hide in His feathers, that we trust Him. The Bible says, the name of the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous run in and what? They're what? They're what? They're safe. Safe. And then one of the most poignant scriptures in the entire Bible. So clear, so simple, and yet we gloss over it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That should be the first clue that what the enemy is doing and what's going to happen to people who reject the Lord is not part of our inheritance. We're not part of that group. We would not perish, but we'd have everlasting life. Some folks get saved just for the fire insurance. Now, I'm not God. I can't tell you who is and who isn't going to make it, but I can tell you what I see in the Word, and that is that if you believe in Him, you serve Him and you trust Him with all of your heart, You lean not to your own understanding, but you acknowledge Him in all your ways, that He will direct your path. And I promise you, because the Word of God promises it. So I'm safe doing that, saying this. You're not going to suffer what is ahead for people when the Antichrist does finally come on the scene. I'm not afraid of these people or these camps where they're supposed to be training police. I told you about the policeman. Did I tell you about the policeman who had to leave? He had to flee because he was telling people this is what's going to happen. He already had a prelude of it. There are others out there who have seen. And this man said, I'm done with this. I'm not having any part of this. I didn't sign on for this. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I'll fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. Amen. Fear, in other words, reverence and respect Him. Don't be afraid of what's going on out there. God is truth. He is my shield. He's your shield. He's your buckler. Amen. And we have a promise. We're not going to enter into those things. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged today? That's what this was all about, is to encourage you. I'm excited. I'm telling you, I am excited. I am absolutely excited about God. See, people are out there wondering what their end is going to be. But the Bible says we have an expected end. Amen? Go back and read Jeremiah 29:11. Scripture in other places says we have an expected end. What's the expectation? Death and destruction, calamity and abuse and torture? No. We know what to expect. Amen? The blessings of God. And the blessings of God walk with each one of us. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Are you encouraged today? Praise the Lord. Does anybody need prayer for anything? Let me ask you once again, are all hearts clear? If God be for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's a promise of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. Father, we thank You for this word. Thank You for using me, Lord. I believe that I spoke what You told me to speak. You gave it to me, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that it's sealed in the hearts of every believer, that they're encouraged, that they're a new excitement, a new resolve, and a new peace, Lord, that passes all understanding, has come into their hearts today, Lord. And they're not worried about what their outcome, what the world says the outcome will be, or what we study in the Word about the end of those people who reject You, Lord, and the calamity that's coming on this earth, that's even here now, Lord. But they're free. They're happy. They're at peace. That they sense Your love, and that perfect love, Lord, is dissipating and diminishing and destroying all fear in their life. We thank You for it, Lord. More than anything, we thank You, Lord, for You. We worship You, the Creator, not the creature, the Lord, the Creator. And we thank You, Lord, that in You, You said You'd give us all things, freely give us all things, Lord. So the things we desire are happiness, and real happiness comes from You, Lord, and You alone. Bless Your people this day, Lord. I thank You that the very God of peace, His face and His peace is upon each person here, Lord. And that Your rest, they'd enter into Your rest and be confident and secure in You, in Your promises, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank You for healing and delivering us, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I give You praise for my healing, for their healing, and whatever healing that is, Lord, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. I thank You. It's done in Jesus' name. It is finished. And we give You praise and glory forever. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Be blessed. Bless, sanctify our fellowship, Lord, and our food. We do it by Your word in this prayer. Bless this time, Lord. And we just give you praise and thanks for today and for each other. Amen.